You're listening to the Faith Shaping Podcast for February 19th, 2006, sharing faith journeys through authentic Christian living. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. My name is Tim Nolte. I'm your host, and if this is your first time listening in, I'd encourage you to check out the previous episodes and the website for more information. It'll give you a little background into the podcast and in how it came about. One note before I get going here, I don't have any listener comments. Nobody's left any, but I encourage you to check out the website, check out the contact information, and please give me some feedback on the podcast, your thoughts about what's talked about. If you have any questions concerning things that we're talking about, I'd love to get your thoughts on here, and maybe even to get some additional people on the podcast from those comments. There's a way to leave voicemail, so your voice can actually be heard on the podcast. That would be a one thing to do as well. I do have a special guest tonight on the podcast. Her name is Vanessa Eisenhoff. And Vanessa, why don't you give us a little background into who you are and why you're joining us tonight?
All right. Well, I am from Michigan, and Tim and I have met online, and he's shared with me some things about this Passionate Life book, and kind of got me excited about what was being said in it. And so I started reading it. And so I thought I'd share some stuff with you, or Tim asked me actually to share some stuff and just kind of talk with him today. So.
All right. Great. Thanks. Tonight's topic, we're talking about the learning circle. And I just wanted to kind of, I know last week that I talked a little bit about, you know, being able to take the faith shapes, or not faith shapes, excuse me, life shapes, and kind of make a point of trying to apply those each day. And boy, I tell you, that was a tough thing for me this week to actually take my devotions and really think about, okay, how am I going to be active in applying the learning circle to what I just read? A lot of the topics ended up being on things that are kind of like general knowledge about, you know, keeping your focus on God. It's like, okay, that's great, and I'll do that. I mean, how do you make a plan to specifically keep your focus on God? Actually, today's message at church this morning was on that kind of that subject too, keeping your focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, where we're going to go tonight here is just maybe kind of give an overview of the learning circle, and maybe if we can talk about specific times where we've been able to maybe apply learning circle, or, you know, maybe some times where we haven't maybe applied learning circle where maybe we should have. I know there's plenty of times in my life where I could have and didn't, and maybe have done it later on, but it made it a lot more difficult to do it later on. You kind of forget things that maybe you could have learned. The learning circle kind of it has two sides to it. It's the repent and believe side. And on the repent side of learning circle, it talks about observing what are called kairos moments. And the kairos moments are kind of specific times in your life where something, and they can be big or small, positive, negative, but they're life impacting times in your life that happen. And we all have those. And how we apply the learning circle to those times in our lives is we need to observe those, reflect on them, discuss those with other people, and then the belief side of the learning circle is to come up with a plan to do the come up with a plan, have somebody accountable to that plan, and then act on that plan to apply what you've learned to your life so that life doesn't just go on and without that actually really having you being aware of how that's impacting your life. So kind of talking about maybe some kairos moments, I think I'm going to maybe open this up to you, Vanessa. Is there anything, any kairos moments that you can think of that maybe, let's start with more recently here, that you have had an opportunity to apply the kind of the learning circle?
Well, I think that I was going to say what you're saying that is something that I realized when I was looking over this stuff again is that it's so easy to look at the negative Kairos moment. It's like easier to find those than it is the positive ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so like looking back on my life, I mean, obviously I just started reading this book. So it's,
I don't,
at the time I didn't know it was a Kairos moment or anything like that. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I can pick out the negative ones a lot easier than the positive ones.
Sure.
Like my sister dying and my nephew dying and, going through all that stuff and having to work through that circle. And I didn't know I was working through the circle, but I was.
Yeah, that's actually, it's interesting you point that out. Last week, I kind of made the comment that in part of the podcast that the life shapes were really kind of just kind of putting a very obvious label on something that really is a part of our Christian life and and how we operate. You know, how we learn. I mean, you said that, you were kind of going through the learning circle. You didn't know about the learning circle.
Right.
But yet it was, God was working that out. I think because that's a natural thing that God has built into our lives.
But I think too that there's like parts of it that you can miss.
Oh yeah.
Like, it talks in the book about how it's like a wheel. And if you don't have one of the spokes, then it's not going to run correctly.
Correct.
And, so I think, I think there's truth to that,
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, have there been any times where you can maybe identify where maybe a spoke is missing and you weren't able, a Kairos moment happened and you weren't able to complete the learning circle?
I mean, we kind of talked about this a little bit already, but I can't think of anything specific, like a specific Kairos moment, but my accountability thing that like we were just talking about that a little while ago. Just when I'm going through something or when I'm going through this circle and I feel like, okay, God's teaching me this at this time. And if I don't have someone to hold me accountable to what God is challenging me to do, then it's hard for me to put it into action. And like, I need to have that group of people or person that's going to hold me accountable to that. I think that's the main thing right now missing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is back here. Well, when I first started going through the book in the Life Shapes book, at that time I had already started blogging and I was very active in blogging. Actually, unfortunate thing is I've been kind of lacking in the blogging area just because of time and just, I don't know. It's been different. Well, podcast has kind of introduced some new aspects to that and just other things in life. But I had made a comment to my boss about how I was kind of getting caught in only the repent side of the learning circle when it came to the blogging. Things would happen in my life. I was making a habit of kind of reflecting on my day in my blog. So I would, kind of observe. I would reflect on that. And some discussion would maybe happen, between comments, from people that were reading my blog or that I'd see conversations with people that I would see that had read my blog. But then the whole belief side of the learning circle would just kind of fall off. There would be no planning on, okay, how am I going to act on what I've learned? How am I going to be accountable to somebody, to what I've learned and what I'm being challenged by? And not that that's all of a sudden when I realized that, boom, there was like this instant, okay, now I know what I need to do and I'm doing it and everything's perfect. It seems like the learning circle is always something we have to learn and work at.
Right.
And it's very challenging. I kind of talked about last week too, the fact of going to church and learning something and actually, Vanessa, you brought up an interesting point last week, or as we talked this past week about a group that you lead and talking about that a little bit. Could you share a little bit?
Yeah. I was in a group that I lead. We had talked about, we were just getting together and hanging out that night. And one of the girls was gone that weekend and missed church. And she brought up, she's like, well, how was Sunday? You know, what was the message about? And everyone just kind of looked at each other like, oh, I don't know. I don't remember. And so it kind of got us into that discussion. Like, what is church for? What is the message for if we're not actually applying it and taking it and putting it into our lives? So yeah, we had a big discussion on that.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, is it, you know, to this subject of having somebody accountable. One thing that I had kind of mentioned at a time too, is the fact that, you know, we don't necessarily have to have an accountability partner per se. It's just being accountable to someone. But part of that is there's some work that's involved on the part of the other person to actually hold you accountable. Right. And, you know, we kind of were talking how it can happen where you get very close to somebody to where that level of accountability kind of diminishes. Maybe it's because, you know somebody so well that you accept them for their faults, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you don't want to hurt that friendship. You've gotten really close and you don't want to say something that's going to maybe hurt them or cause them to wonder, why are you my friend? How can you say that to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought we were close and you're questioning me about something. And that, you know, that's something that as Christians, we really need to work on as well, is being open to being held accountable and mm-hmm. realize that that's what people are doing. They're not trying to judge us, but they're trying to just help us in this journey that we have
mm-hmm.
and kind of basically help us to grow in our spiritual walk. And we it's surprising how defensive we can get as Christians and how we can turn a deaf ear to things. We can see things maybe going on in church or with people we know, and we want to kind of live in this world of maybe kind of this perfect Christian life that we all would like to have, but it's not reality.
Mm-hmm.
That perfect Christian life is not going to happen here on earth.
Right.
It's only going to happen in heaven.
Right.
And I think we can get very caught up in, and even judging other people, you know, and that's where, when we do that, that's where it can break down the willingness for people to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I
just want to say too, yeah. I think that, that the accountability thing, it's like, if you have someone that you don't know very well come up and tell you something that maybe they see in you, you're going to take that a totally different way than mm-hmm. someone who comes up to you that you know really well. And because I think, probably there's positive and negatives to both, uh-huh. but I think that I'm probably going to, even though I love my friends and I love my family, but you know, I take what they say with a grain of salt because, you know, they know me and they, yep, you know, yep. And it's easier to ignore them almost than it is for someone that I don't know, like, you know, they don't know me. And, you know, it makes you think about it more, I think.
Yeah.
So I think like the accountability, like we were talking about with an accountability partner or something like that, it's almost better when someone that you don't know says something to you, or not necessarily you don't know, but maybe you don't know on a really deep friendship level.
Sure. Sure. Well, yeah. And actually what's interesting is it's those people that maybe you don't have a close relationship with. They're actually going to see your kind of your outward normal day by day behavior.
Right.
And it's that normal everyday behavior that is really what's going to be our witness to people.
Mm-hmm.
And if that aspect of our life is not following Christ, it's, you know, it's not walking the walk. That's where we need to be called on
mm-hmm.
because the people we don't know aren't going to know maybe our inner secrets, you know,
right.
those things that are easy to hide. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. And our close friends or family, or they they don't look at those things. Like they just kind of, I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
can't.
They kind of, they, it's easier for them to look past the everyday
exactly.
normal.
Yeah.
And they can kind of see maybe your inner heart,
mm-hmm.
maybe, or,
mm-hmm.
or you're just more open to share those things.
Right.
You know, but they maybe just aren't seeing you on a normal everyday basis too, to see that outward kind of public, life that you're leading. And that's where it's good to have, it's good to be open to, that accountability. And I mean, that accountability can come in some, maybe some different ways. I was thinking it might be even not necessarily accountability by other Christians that we know. It could even be how we're present. If somebody in, say, at our communities that maybe isn't necessarily a Christian, but maybe knows that we go to a particular church, you know,
right.
or maybe we're claiming to be a Christian. If they see some, I mean, people know what's right and wrong,
mm-hmm.
You know, in their hearts. And so if they see us doing something or acting in a certain way or treating people a certain way that doesn't line up with what they maybe see as being a Christian, not that their view of what's a Christian is maybe correct or not, that could also be something that could be, you know, a way to hold us accountable
right.
to what we're doing.
Right.
So I think it's being open to, well, in a way, almost criticism, and really reflecting on the feedback from other people in, you know, how am I living my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
which is really difficult too.
Oh yeah.
To take that stuff.
Definitely.
But it's essential too.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I mean, if you think about it, Christ, when he was here, he got a lot of criticism
yeah.
from the Pharisees and, you know, the teachers of the law. They were not necessarily happy with what he was doing. Yet he wasn't doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a particular view. I mean, that's a little bit different. I mean, obviously he wasn't going to take the criticism from the Pharisees and change his life. No,
right.
That's not what I'm
right.
saying either. But there's that outward appearance that we have that we need to be willing to be held accountable, you know, and then act on. I mean, and that's the key too. I mean, we can have people that, you know, maybe make comments to us, hold us accountable or talk to us about something that we're doing. And when they come and talk to us, if we're not willing to come back around to the learning circle, and that's what the
right.
learning circle is about too. It's not just this one single circle. It's an
mm-hmm.
ongoing, like a slinky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's coming back to the Kairos moments again and learning and reflecting. And when somebody holds us accountable, we need to go back to learning circle, start over, observe, okay, what are they saying? Reflect on that. Talk with them or, you know, or others about what was pointed out to us, and then make a plan and say, okay, you know, this has been pointed out to me. How am I going to keep myself from doing those things? And then, I mean, really part of the accounting is also, the learning circle is also finding somebody that you can say, this is a plan I'm making, you know,
right.
from what happened. Hold me accountable to this. Call me on this so that I don't fall back into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the, you know, repentance and believing, you know. When we repent, it's not, oh, yep, I did this, okay, and that's where it stands. You need to then go from there to working on leaving those things behind. And you don't just say you're repenting, you do it.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So
kind of what you're saying is that, like, when someone holds you accountable and you act on that, it, like, automatically starts another Kairos.
Starts another Kairos. Really, yeah. When somebody calls you on that, that's actually right there is kind of a Kairos moment that you need to then apply the learning circle to. And, you know, it's going to go on and on. And that's kind of how our lives need to be, you know, kind of on this continual spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that sounds scary, like a roller coaster, I'm going to, you know, it's going to be round and round. I'm going to get dizzy. How am I going to get to the end, you know? But that's how our life is going to be. It's one Kairos moment to the next. And as soon as we don't let that happen, and it's this disconnect, I think life is going to be maybe much harder. You have so much disconnect between one thing happening, another thing happening, where if you let the learning circle happen at one Kairos moment and you act on that what you've learned and what you've applied to your life from that Kairos moment may make a totally different difference on a second Kairos moment in mm-hmm. your life. I don't know. I mean, what do you think on that?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, how do we, like, I can picture the big Kairos moments. Like, yep. It's easy for me to put those in action and go through all the learning circle things. But when it comes to the little things, that's where I have the hardest time.
Yeah. 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 Actually, well, and that's kind of where I've been at this last week. You know, I've been like, I want to apply the learning circle every day. And so I'm going to start with my devotions in the morning. I'm going to learn, you know, and some of that came from, you know, putting what you're hearing into practice, you know. Well, I would read it, and it's kind of a small Kairos moment because it's just me. It's something that I read, I took in, and it's like, okay, now how do I get into this learning circle? But yeah, the big life impacting things, those, it's like, yeah, this huge thing happened.
Right.
And now I'm going to go through, and it's kind of, it's almost automatic to do the learning circle with big things.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's those small things. That's where more work is going to be involved to actually apply the learning circle. And I think that's maybe where we're failing in trying to continue on this spiral. Cause it's those big moments, which are like, ugh. And I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm obviously, I can't list a specific case where I've seen this played out, but you know, maybe those big Kairos moments maybe wouldn't seem so big if we were applying the learning circle to the smaller Kairos moments. I don't know. That could very well be. I mean, I know life has its ups and downs for sure.
Right.
But I think it's, you know, those, if we're not learning from those small Kairos moments, then there's probably going to be those large Kairos moments are going to be a lot bigger for us because we may have to learn in those large, big Kairos moments something that we could have learned in a smaller Kairos moment.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Well, that kind of brings us back kind of to where the book brings us, talking about kind of a slinky faith. And the next life shape is the square, correct? No.
No.
Oh, is it the triangle?
I think it's a semicircle.
The semicircle. Of course it is. Yes, rest. It's actually something that we've had, I don't know, I hope we've had an opportunity to do this weekend. But so just to kind of to wrap things up a little bit here, I want to thank you, Vanessa, for joining me on the podcast.
Sure.
It's nice to have another voice and another person's thoughts on this whole subject of the life shapes. And just kind of living out our faith. Well, if you've made it this far into the podcast, I do want to apologize for the audio levels there, especially my voice. I was kind of up and down all over the place. That's what happens when you aren't paying attention and you're engaging in a dialogue, I guess. Something I have to definitely work on in the future. Again, apologies for that. Thank you for listening. There aren't any promos this week. I'm hoping to maybe get some promos from Youth Specialties, Focus on the Family, maybe some other ministries out there I've contacted. I'm waiting to hear back from them. If you are a listener and you've got a podcast that's faith and Christian related, give me a jingle and no pun intended there. Give me a jingle to play, but drop me a line. And let me know about your podcast, and we'll try and get a promo set up for you. Just wanted to mention, be sure to check out the website features. Get yourself on the Frapper map if you can. I'd love to see where all my listeners are located at. And two, just to encourage you to please leave some feedback if you can. Comments of just, you know, great job on the podcast are nice, and I appreciate those very much. But I'm definitely looking for some questions and additional thoughts on what we've talked about tonight. Thank you, and God bless.